Listen up, Australia. He's not here. He's not here. He's off enjoying a beer and a very long lunch. So we've got some best bits for you. This is Malloy's Rostered Week Off.
And the odd game of golf, I'm sure. G'day, it's Dave Williams here. Big show coming up today. Janice Scott, Adam Rosenbach's. Some dating red flags with our producer Whitney. But up next, it is Charlie Pickering. Love this guy. He's been watching a TV show that is, well, extraordinary. For all the wrong reasons. Charlie Pickering after this. Malloy's Rostered Week Off. Malloy, it's the Rostered Week Off. Charlie Pickering wants you to think that he's an intelligent social commentator across all the big issues of the day. But let's be honest, he loves an incredible amount of trash TV.
What have you bought for us? You always come in, it's like show and tell sometimes with you, and I'm always left with something I wouldn't have seen or come across.
Yeah, I don't believe there's high culture and low culture. I think it's all culture.
Right. It's a big soup.
Yeah, and today I have some culture in the same way that you have a bacterial culture. All right, this one is this one is special. It's rare. I don't want to over-explain the concept. I will say, though, it's been described as one of the most irresponsible reality TV shows ever made.
Oh, well, you've got me.
I am going to play you the first clip, which kind of sets it up. Yes. Just, I got nothing else to say. Just listen to this.
Linda is 39 weeks pregnant, and her due date is just days away.
Mama, look. Oh, thanks.
And her plan for this birth is anything but typical.
A new adventure that we're going to try. Lance and I are going to have this baby outside.
The show is born in the wild.
Right, okay.
And couples who are, I cannot tell you how close they are to giving birth.
Yes.
Head into the wilderness to have their babies in tents.
Okay.
That is what this show is right now. Here's the thing. I've never been a fan of the idea of home birth. I don't want to be controversial.
No,
no.
I just personally, I feel once that happens, you ruin a room. That's kind of how I feel about
it.
All right,
go back in there.
You have to. Yeah, you can't go back in there. Yeah, that's exactly right. Right, you'd have more luck getting the juju out of a quarantine hotel, than if you had a birth at home.
All right? The holidays.
Once again, don't call. So anyway, this show, Born in the Wild, takes couples. And they choose a patch of wilderness to give birth in.
Wow. They have any kind of medical support or what is that?
No. A crew. There's a film crew.
Sound guy.
But there's no concept. I think, like, often they will have a midwife available to them, right? But they are a long way from medical science, we'll say that. So the first couple who live just outside Salt Lake City just head to the flatlands. It's just a grassy flatland, like just a prairie, and then they try to set up a tent, and it doesn't go well. So this is them when they head out.
The wind's kind of picking up.
In the foothills outside Salt Lake City, Linda and Lance are trying to set up for an outdoor birth.
Whoa.
But Mother Nature isn't cooperating.
Wow.
I need help.
What's happening there?
Yeah, it's not going well.
Mother Nature's not playing ball.
Not playing ball at all. It's at this point you start to think maybe Mother Nature shouldn't have been in the birthing suite. Maybe the reason you have a birthing suite is to exclude nature.
That's right.
So this obviously leads to a crisis that the couple has to consider. Have a listen.
Camping is just not as great as I thought it would be. It's kind of miserable.
Do you want some protein?
I don't want your protein. I'm uncomfortable and I want to go home, you know, maybe take a bath, lay down. It's going to be kind of hard to stay out here. Maybe we bit off more than we could chew. I really want to go home till this baby comes.
I don't necessarily agree with that. This whole thing is part of your birthing plan.
Now, gentlemen, do you have children?
Yes.
I do.
At that point in the process, would you have contradicted your wife and said, hang on, that's not part of your birthing plan?
No.
Keep your mouth shut.
At that point, your job is to go along with whatever it is.
As I rub both feet.
Yeah. and fish around in your bag for that epidural you happen to bring with you at the time.
Jesus.
So they are out. They're in the middle of a field.
This show's going to go horribly wrong one
week. Yeah. Yes. Well, and it does. They're out in the middle of a field. They manage to get their tents up. And then after nightfall, things start happening. And it just gets worse.
Okay.
Oh, my water's
And her midwife is nowhere to be seen.
need that midwife here.
Baby's coming any minute.
Okay, that's probably enough. That's probably enough.
Hey, the midwife's not here, but Bigfoot has arrived. He's charged. What is going on?
That is it. Wow. That is the show. There is one where a couple in the woods of Alaska have to literally build a house before they give birth. It is a remarkable show, and it is for anyone who felt that their birth was a stressful time, that their partner had a difficult time. This makes you feel, no, I made a series of better decisions than these people, regardless of the outcome.
I would like to speak to one of them to know when they thought that was going to be a good idea.
Absolutely.
And it was done. Mm. Thank you. I'm going to go home. I'm going to find that series
Born
and
in the
watch
wild.
It happen.
Born in the wild.
Charlie Pickering up next on Molloy's Rostered Week Off, Dating Red Flags with our Whitney Plowman and Adam Rosenbach's coming up in a few minutes too. It is Molloy's Rostered Week Off. If you want to listen to what Mick's been up to in 2021, you can hear the year's highlights through the Listener app. And if you missed our chat with Kisses' Paul Stanley, you can head there right now to hear the entire interview. Denise Scott coming. This is Molloy's Rostered Week Off. We're back in studio April 19. Earlier this year, when restrictions started to lift in Melbourne, our producer Whitney, she ventured out for the first time in months.
High excitement here in the studio yesterday when we learned that our own Whitney, who we love, and is one of the top chicks
I know.
Let's just make no mistake about that. And by the way, Whitney, you looked beautiful last night when you posted one of the prettiest pictures I've ever seen. Towards the end of your date, is that fair? Or?
It was after the date, and I'd had quite a few beers.
But let me just say, that's when I find women at their most attractive. Can I say this? So we have high excitement, Whitney having a first date in how long?
It doesn't matter how long.
3 years. Let's just get that out there. So we were going, well, who is this man? What are his intentions? What will he be
like? We were like the big brothers. We wanted to, you know, protect you and look after you.
Who put you together, and it was recommended by friends. You went out. It was there. Now, I haven't asked you any questions as yet, but I have a feeling I know how it went. Was he on time?
I was first. He was a few minutes late.
Well, that's a red flag right there, I would have thought. He's late.
Yeah, the thought was like, oh, he's not coming.
I think a woman always, you know, I call me old school, but it's great to make an entrance and you're sitting there. And when as you approach the table, you stand politely and go, well, you look
your chair
wonderful
out.
Tonight.
Yeah. And but I did look wonderful. I looked good
what
last
were you wearing? Describe what you were wearing.
I'm wearing this skirt.
Are you wearing the same, clothes you went on the date with last night?
No, I'm not wearing this. All the same clothes.
Because your mascara's run. Yeah. It looks like you've been crying.
Yeah.
It's because I'm hungover.
What did you wear? Tell me what you
wore. I wore this skirt and I wore a singlet, black singlet top with a gold necklace.
And was it like the,
I don't know why I have to tell you, but
is it the Bridget Jones? You only wear your good underwear.
You only wear your good
underwear if you think you have half a chance for a bit of. Were you wearing good underwear?
Did you have good undies on?
What did you?
This is so inappropriate. I'm not answering that question.
All right, we're moving on. What did he order? What food?
We didn't eat.
I beg your pardon?
What? We just had beers. Well, I had beers.
He had beers. That's interesting. And what did he order? What did he order drink-wise?
He ordered a vodka and orange juice.
I have to say that's...
But then he switched his... drink to vodka lemonade. And I'm ordering beers. It just
ordering beers. Now, at which point did you go, not tonight? How did you
finish home to my girlfriend's house.
You went home to your girlfriend's house. And this is, by the way, the way most first dates, I would imagine.
That's right.
And we know
and we love and adore Whitney.
Thanks, guys.
We love and adore.
As I said, he's a bum and he was no good.
No! Let me just say, that guy. No.
Do you want to go and beat him up?
Let's come around.
Let me say that I had a fun night. It was good. He was a lovely guy.
Okay. Is he still at your house right now?
No.
Was there a red flag moment for you when you went, you know what?
Yeah.
That's the deal breaker.
We were at a pub and there was a few dogs around and I was saying, like describing how I love big dogs.
Right.
And then he said he wants to get a chihuahua. Red flag. And I think a part of me died inside.
No chihuahuas.
There's no coming back from the chihuahua. Whitney, you are amazing. Yeah. Dave, have you ever...
Well, it's been a long time since I've been on a date.
Do you know, I reckon you were...
What's that?
If she orders the lobster? Or anything really expensive?
Possibly. Maybe like stuffed toys on a bed, like lots of stuffed toys. To me, that's a bit of a...
I don't know.
James, oh,
here we go.
Straight
yourself in Australia.
Here we go, James. Yeah, this could go anywhere. Young James, what's a red flag on a date for you?
I ignored this red flag about 3 years ago. Anniversary's coming up. My girlfriend, right at the end of our first date, pulled her Suzuki Swift and backed straight into a RAV4. Crashed it. I used that as my way to give my number to her as a witness for the police.
Jesus.
So.
James has got more game than me.
Do you know, James, you know what a red flag is for me? If you went into a partner's bedroom and they had their prefix pocket mounted behind glass on the bedroom wall.
Red flag. I'm proud.
What about you, Mick? Have you got a red flag?
Look, if you're on a first date, she's in the third trope.
This is Malloy's Rostered Week Off. We're talking about dating red flags.
Red flags on a first date. I would have thought, here's one. Teardrop tattoo. I'll tell you what it is, a red flag. I'm staring at it right now. Anyone who turns up in a Billy Joel The Stranger t-shirt.
Shut up, Rosie.
What's that? Is that like lingerie?
No, it's a Grammy Award winning album from 1977.
Okay, that's the mood killer, is it? Is that, by the way, we've been joined live in the studio by Adam Rosenbach, friend of the show. Just before we get back to Whitney, can I ask you, have you got a red flag on a date? Is there one that's bobbed up for you?
Oh, when they don't like the mariachi band I've hired, they get stuck into you. I went on one date. It was a speed dating thing. And the first thing the woman said to me, she goes, "I don't like Adams."
Oh. Yeah.
Did she know your name was Adam?
Well, she did, but...
Straight off the bat.
Straight
she's
off
giving
the bat.
You the,
that's just
you're
rude.
In trouble.
It is rude.
It's hard to get in trouble on a first date.
I know.
Trust me.
When they don't like the same team that I support, like I'm a big fan of the Proud Boys. Not into that.
Hey, do you want to sit in on this? We're going to take some
Love
calls.
To.
Whitney, you started all this. You went out last night. You said there was a red flag, which to you was?
That he wanted a chihuahua.
And you're getting a bit of support on this one?
Yeah. Jane Kennedy just sent me a text message in full support of my decision. So.
Can I just say, I understand that call. But have you seen her dog?
Yes.
It's the size of a Shetland pony.
Biggest dog you've ever seen.
So I think we could have worked that out for ourselves. Jasmine. Hi, Jasmine. How are you?
Yeah, good. Thanks, guys.
That's the way. What is a red flag as far as you're concerned?
Well, when you meet this really great guy, but on a second date, his mum's there and quizzing you really hard about when do you want kids, when do you get married, and when are you going to settle down?
On a second date.
On a second date.
Jeez.
Wow.
Now, Jasmine, did he make the mum pay for her part of the meal? Or how'd you split that bill?
Well, it wasn't at a restaurant, thank goodness.
Okay.
But that might make it easier to run.
Wow. Second date and the mum's laying in. I like it. Jen's calling from Newcastle. Jen, what was the red flag for you?
Turning up in a like really bright fluorescent green shirt, shorts and long socks. But I mean, this is back like the shorts and the long socks, like back in the 70s your grandfather used to wear.
Your bus driver sort of style.
Unless he's riding in the Tour de France or something. I would have thought. Troy's on the line. Troy, what's the red flag for you?
Basically, when a partner turns up, their parent drops them off and then says to them, hey, I'll be back in 1 hour to pick you up.
Hardly a ringing endorsement, is it? Okay, we don't like that one particularly. Peter's on the line. Peter, red flag, please.
Horses.
I beg your pardon?
More information.
Horses.
What do you mean?
Oh, when they got a picture of a horse on their Tinder profile.
When they got a picture of a horse on their Tinder profile.
Then why would you date them?
Yeah, I thought you were going out with Daryl Braithwaite.
That's the red flag. Hang on, mate. Have you had a bad experience? Someone's come out and they've got a horse. What type of horse? Was it Palomino? Is it a piebald?
Mr. Ed?
Was it, tell me it was a Shetland.
I dropped
to one knee and proposed. Peter, you sound like you've had a couple. Whitney, the biggest red flag. What are you thinking?
I'm going Jen from Newcastle.
Jen from Newcastle.
Jen, you get the prize.
I agree. He's not getting any action that night. Who needs anyone wearing green shorts?
All right. In the next hour, we've got mixed tech support coming up. And we want to know, who have you been in a pool with? This is Malloy's Rostered Week Off. If you want more Malloy in your ears, you can listen to some of our favourite interviews on the Listener. This is Malloy's Rostered Week Off, Mick Malloy, and a simple question right now. What have you stolen? Yeah, because someone stole
a street
sidewalk.
Whole street.
In the UK. They took
it. It's a busy night's work.
Who steals that?
And we're thinking and we're asking everyone around Australia, what have you stolen?
You,
Chris is on the line. Chris, what did you steal?
Helicopter rotor blade.
Okay.
And
quite specific.
Why'd you do that?
We just repurposed them, really. They were on a base somewhere in Australia. We thought we wanted them more, so we took them down to our base.
So it's an inside job, right? Yeah. This is a Defence Force inside job.
Yep.
Rotor blades have gone from one base to another, no questions asked.
How do you smuggle rotor blades, though? That's quite specific.
So we had a key that someone left in their unlocked car so we could do a midnight job.
I hope you're Special Forces, because it sounds like you can get in and out of anything.
Yeah, we've got some skills.
All right, good work, Chris. Danny's on the line. Danny's also from Queensland. Right, Danny, what'd you steal?
It wasn't actually me that stole it, mate, but it was some of my mates back in the early 90s.
Yeah.
They decided to set up looking like a road crew one night and steal a walkway bridge. All the checker plate walkway, all the handrails.
Hang on.
They just unbolted it all.
Hang on.
Just a bridge?
Just back it up. Your friend stole a bridge.
Yeah, they made themselves look like road crew.
That's just the hats on. Road crew. Did they have the lights
flashing out? Flashing lights.
Come on.
Do you know, it reminds me of that Barry Humphries prank, which is one of my favourites of all time. When he was at Melbourne Uni, he was standing over the top of the street, Elgin Street there.
Right.
There's a walkway, and he saw some tramway workers working on the tram lines. And he rang the police and he said, there's a bunch of students dressed as tramway workers and they're pretending to dig up the
tram
lines.
Tracks, yeah.
And the cops go, fantastic, thanks to tip off. He goes down to the tramway workers and goes, there's a bunch of students dressed as policemen.
That's awesome.
To tell you off. And then he went up and watched it on the overpass bridge.
That is amazing.
As the biggest fight you've ever seen. Well done, Paul. What did you steal, mate?
It wasn't actually me. This is first year uni back in the early 90s.
Yes.
We got invited to one of the guys' parties. He was known to be a bit of a loose unit. And to paint a picture, we've rocked up to his unit. And as we rocked up, he's actually surfing his ironing board down the front stairs. And when we get in there, he'd gone out the night before and gone into the Queensland University and stole the traffic lights. And he'd somehow managed to rig them up to his toaster. So you go and turn the toaster on. You turn the toaster on and then the lights would all be flashing in his kitchen. Yeah.
The toaster's up, ding, 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 ding.
Yeah.
Oh, that is the funniest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah. One time for one more. Tracker.
Oh, it was a long time ago. A friend of mine, parents owned a motel up in Townsville, and a lot of musos, pretty well-to-do ones, used to go and play there. So I'll put them up there and they'd play in Townsville. We decided to knock off Sharon O'Neill's leather pants. And she didn't like it too much, got a bit cranky, and she went down to the reception set.
Where did you take your pants from? Where were her pants?
The clothesline. She had them hanging out the back hair. Oh,
Jesus.
And we thought we wanted to try them on.
This is Sharon O'Neill is in Maxine.
International
New Zealand's finest export.
Yeah, that's the girl.
Tracker, enough. I'm surprised the cops didn't get involved, to be honest.
Well, they were rung, but because we put them back. We put them back after we took photos and that of them.
Oh, good on you, Tracker. That's made my day.
Lots to come in the second hour. Don't go anywhere. It's Malloy's Rostered Week Off.
Listen up, Australia. While Mick has a well-earned break, we're heading back to the archives. This is Malloy's Rostered Week Off.
Hey, thanks for tuning in. You can listen through the Listener app, online, in your car, home on your radio, wherever you are. Thanks for tuning in. If you missed anything from the first hour, including Charlie Pickering, you can catch that up on the Malloy podcast. Big hour coming up with Denise Scott and more. Stay here. It's the Malloy Rostered Week Off on Triple. This is Malloy on Triple M. It's the Rostered Week Off. Denise Scott, she's a regular of the show. We love her dearly, but she told us about an addiction her son is facing.
before lockdown, I got to do a gig in Darwin.
The convention centre. What a great room to play. Mm.
Anyway, there was this kid in the front row at the convention centre, 2,500 people, 15-year-old kid, mm. front row. I chatted to him and I thought I'd bring out some old shtick I used to do about my son. And the joke goes, do you know what my son was addicted to when he was 14?
Right.
True story, Mick.
Yep.
Lawn bowls.
Oh, great.
Yeah, yeah. It sort of gets a laugh. And then yep. I say, which was terrible as a parent because lawn bowls has the highest death rate of any sport. There's your gag, Mick. It's the gag.
Okay, we're away. What's the problem?
Not a great gag, but it's a gag. I thought, well, I'll play this. It'll sound like I'm just improvising with this kid.
Yeah.
So there's this kid, 15 years old. And I said, do you know what my son was addicted to when he was 14? And honestly, Mick, he wasn't trying to get a laugh or anything. He just paused and he went, wanking? So he was sitting there next to his mother, his 2,500 local residents of Darwin, and I think he'd given away quite a story about himself.
At least he didn't do it in a public place where it could blow up in his face. Yeah. What is wrong with you? You're totally responsible. You know what talking to the audience is. It's, oh, look at that silly jumper, or who cuts your hair? Not tell us something personal about your adolescent life and masturbation. I mean, what have you done?
Well, I didn't intend it. I was just going to get to my daggy lawn bowls joke. That was as far as I was going to go.
Well, that guy's seen his last comedy gig. He won't be putting his hand up for any more audience participation. Or sitting in the front 10 rows, I imagine.
Or possibly even going out ever again in Darwin.
I like lawn bowls. Did you lawn bowl yourself?
No, I've had a crack at it once, but no, I've never. Yeah. But my son, Geordie, who's 36 now, absolutely went nuts for it when he was 14.
Yep.
And it must have been around the year 2000 with that, because he was going to go to the Commonwealth Games.
Yep, really? Yep. Wow.
And then he became a muso.
Well, it's either or. It's a close one.
Yeah.
Do you know what I learnt in all my time on the lawn bowl circuit? I learnt one thing. It's not like golf. You can't chuck your balls into the crowd after the game. It's all I know. It can end very badly. Just out of interest, Dave, what was your hobby when you were 14 years old?
Okay,
don't answer that question.
Coming up tomorrow on Malloy, Anne Edmonds and Lloyd Langford, and it's Thursday, so get ready for Gone Wild. This is Malloy's Rostered Week Off. We caught up with Rosie, Adam Rosenbach's, earlier in our discussion of dating red flags. Well, he's going to return right now with something that, well, isn't quite right.
So I recently went to a dive bar and I walked in there and it was pretty quiet, but it was about 10:30 at night. So that's early for a dive bar.
It sure is.
I'm there six
that's
hours early.
Early opens.
I was first one in. And so I was sitting there and the music playing was a little bit odd because you just expect it to be rock and dirty.
There's a certain genre.
And so I had to Shazam it, which is an app on the phone, Michael.
I'm writing this down.
Tells you what the songs are.
Tells you what the song is. And this is what it was playing in the dive bar. It's like I was in a Russian period.
Okay. Is the dive bar owned by the Gypsy Kings? Where is the dive bar?
How bad is this?
Who else is in the bar at the time?
There's like maybe one other person sitting at the bar and they looked as depressed as I was with this music. And so I said to the bar girl, I was like, do you take requests? And she's like, what, music? And I'm like, well, yeah, well, what else? Like, for juggling? Like, I want some metal.
Would you do something?
Yeah, and then she says, oh, we might segue into that later.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, well, I might segue some petrol into a bottle and throw it back into your establishment at 5 a.m. How terrible is that?
That is not good. And by the way, what you just suggested is not an overreaction to
Song.
That is fair.
Well,
they
like the Russian theme. I'll go with the Molotov cocktail. It's okay. But I went to a mate's birthday on Friday night at a pub, and he had a cover band on. And
it's always dodgy.
It can be, particularly Irish pub or Sunday afternoon session.
Right.
Jeez.
They are ripe for a cover band.
They're hoping everyone's soft their chops. No one's really paying attention.
Getting into a little bit of Cotton Eye Joe or
a bit of Rednecks.
Mustang Sally, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yep.
You've been there, haven't you?
The cover band playlist is, you're right on it there. That is two of the best. Mm. Yeah. I'm sorry, I did a cover of Puddle Mudd's cover of Nirvana's Car.
I'll take it.
This one. About a girl.
You hang me, had to try.
but I can't see you every night.
I get away with that on a Sunday over.
That's haunting.
That's haunting. And you should see me for my Unplugged. It's pretty good.
So, you know, the band are playing it, and it gets people on the dance floor. That's what you want with a cover band.
True.
And they played the Divinyls' I Touch Myself, which is an absolute classic.
Yeah. Oh, this one.
Gets the ladies on the dance floor.
Yeah.
So that's the original.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I like it.
Beautiful.
It's a classic, Aussie classic.
One issue I had with them doing it on the night, and people were out there dancing. They weren't really paying attention the way I was, but it was a male lead singer. Now, when a guy is singing that song, it takes on a whole different connotation, and I've recorded what it would have sounded like.
All right.
I love myself. I want you to love me. When I feel down, I want you above me. I search myself, and I want you to find me. Yeah, I forget myself, and I want you to remind me. I don't want anybody else. Because when I think about you, I touch myself.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't want anyone else. No one. Because when I think about you, I touch myself.
Get in the car.
Mate, it's a beautiful song in the hands of the right person.
Don't say hands.
This is Molloy's Rostered Week Off. We want to know, who have you been in a pool with?
You know, I love this show, this radio show. I love our team. And you learn, we had a great team dinner the other night, but it's so much about so many people. I wish I had a black box recorder of the other night. Whitney is on the show. And I keep forgetting that Whitney is well-schooled with celebrities.
Oh, yeah.
So many people. Whitney, who did you used to be PA for?
I used to be PA for Kelly Osbourne. But I've known the Osbournes. I think I first met the Osbournes when I was 15, 16 years old.
Yeah.
So, I've had a pretty rich life.
And through that association, you met a lot of people. And we were about to go on air and we were talking about Green Day were playing.
Yeah.
And I've been in a pool with Green Day.
Yeah. Stop
Hang
the
on
show.
A second. What the hell? You can't just drop that casually. So I got to me thinking, who have you been in a pool with? And it turns out just about everyone's got a great story. 133353.
Yeah, yeah.
How were you in a pool with Green Day?
So I was in Sydney babysitting because the Osbournes were hosting the MTV Video Music Awards, the first Australian ones, and Green Day were in the same hotel. So I took Lucas up to the pool to have a swim. And as I got in, I realised, oh, that's Green Day. So it was me and a baby and Green Day.
Was it the whole band?
Yeah, whole
Billy
band.
Joe.
And I just remember thinking, oh, my God, Lucas isn't in a proper swimming up. He's going to shit the pool with Green Day in it.
Oh, no. Way to write a song about it.
Okay, so there you go.
But hang on. A song came on Triple M today and I went, oh, yeah, I have another pool story.
Who was the band?
All right, remember the band Fallout Boy?
Yeah, thanks for the memories.
Yeah. All right.
But is that Fallout Boy? Yes.
So I once stayed at Pete Wentz's house.
Oh, my God. What is going on?
Okay, but don't get the wrong idea. Pete Wentz wasn't there.
He was married to Ashley Simpson, wasn't he?
Yeah, they have two kids together, But my friend worked as Pete Wentz's PA and he was out of town, so I stayed at his place with her and I went for a swim in his pool with his dog, Hemingway.
And Hemingway took a shit. You went, oh, this is gold. James on our team. Well done, Whitney. I'm sure to think of another two. Who have you been in a pool with?
Nick Cave.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
How does that happen?
So it was...
So he looked cool with wet hair?
Yeah.
He would have looked exactly the same.
But no, because what Dad kept saying to me was, don't look at him in the eyes.
Why?
So, I don't know. Dad has this thing where he thinks that if you see someone famous, you don't look at him in the eyes. So we were at the pool first. It was me, my dad, my brother. It was at a hotel down in Queenscliff, of all places.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't get any fish and chips. Yes. And then, Nick Cave rocks up.
Was he lolly bags, speedos? Was he board shorts? Was he cut off denim?
I feel like he was.
Was he jeans, no shirt? You know what he was? Jeans, no shirt, off the diving board.
Oh, yeah.
It was board shorts, very Cherry Hest, quite...
Cherry Hest?
Hairy chest, quite pale.
That's... Oh, there's a bombshell. Nick Cave doesn't get out in the sun much. You don't see Nick Cave poolside a lot. I could only be more impressed if I ever said you went for a swim with Iggy Pop. So, yeah, well, yeah,
that's pretty
Rosie
good.
Walden, our resident rock chick, has swung by. She couldn't help herself.
Yeah.
What have you done? Oh, with pool, who with?
Nothing as impressive as Whitney. But I was on a family holiday and there was this lovely lady at the resort that we were staying at. Mum and Dad had to explain to me who this was. I'd heard of her, but I didn't really know that she was a real person. Honor Blackman, who was Pussy Galore.
Pussy Galore!
Wow.
What the hell? Oh, my God. A Bond girl.
In a pool. With
a
me.
Bond girl in a pool would be as much as I could bear.
Everyone was hushed, just going, oh, can you believe this? What an honor.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
That is fantastic. That's great news. We'll get to you after the break.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
133353. I was in a pool with Adam Gilchrist.
Ooh.
But hang on. The night before the World Cup final in Barbados.
Oh, my God.
In Barbados, before he went out and made his 100th day. And it was like a therapy session. It was just me and Adam. Adam hadn't made any runs.
Yeah.
He was at one end of the pool.
Right.
I'm up the other. And he goes, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to
do. Are you
joking? I feel like I've let the team down. No doubt. I'm looking around going, I'm not cut out for this.
Person.
You counseled him.
Next thing you know, I'm going, you'll be right, mate. Yeah. You'll be right. You can do it. And
bit of Marco Polo and
a bit
off
of
you go.
Marco Polo.
A whirlpool.
Then hit the pool bar. And next thing you know, he's come out and bung 100.
You've heard the Malloy team's pool stories. Well, your stories are next. You're listening to Malloy. It's the Rostered Week Off, and sometimes it's the simplest questions that result in the most interesting answers.
Who have you been in a pool with? This all became because Whitney spent the afternoon in a pool with Green Day, was wrinkled up by the time she got out, refused to get out. And the phones have gone bonkers.
Can't believe this.
We've got a few to get through.
Yeah.
Rob, who have you been in a pool with?
Max Walker and Crackers Keenan.
Well, there you go.
Hang on.
Was it a pool bar? Looks like sounds like a pool bar to me.
Nah, my old man had a motel in Lake Boga in 85.
Lake Boga, yeah, I know that.
Right, yeah,
I used to go for a swim every morning and they were staying and jumped in with them.
And tell me, was Max Walker having a good weekend?
No, he wasn't actually, because he was quite arrogant. He didn't say a word.
I wasn't a fan, righto.
Hate to hear
I wasn't
it.
Expecting it. I think my old man rubbed him up the wrong way. My old man's a German and he kept calling crackers clackers, so...
That'll do it.
Appreciate
hey, Doc's
that.
On the line. Doc, who have you been in a pool with?
Oh, it's Brian Mannix.
No way!
Oh,
hey. Uncanny X-Men's Brian Mannix. Now, what was he wearing leopard skin Speedos?
No, I was actually at Hamilton Island. I was on my honeymoon, right? This is years ago. And him and his mates were playing at the island. And he was, like, during the day, he was out hungover. And they're all swimming in the pool. Had this dirty old 8mm, like, you know, camera.
Need the camera, yeah.
And he was filming all him and his mates. They're doing bombs in the pool. And so I went over to him, like at the pool. But I said, I'll give you your camera and I'll take some videos for you.
Yeah.
And all his mates are doing these bombs and flips and carrying on. I ended up going to a staff party with him and his bandmates. It was a really, really good night.
It sounds fantastic. And how much would his mullet have weighed? When his mullet wet. Yeah, Melissa's on the line. Melissa, who have you been in a pool with?
Joe Bjelke-Petersen.
Hang on. Former Queensland Premier.
What the hell? Where?
In Katherine, the Northern Territory, my parents ran a motel and he was staying there. I was only about 8 at the time and didn't realise who he was.
Yep.
I just happened to be swimming in the pool because that's what you do in the Territory.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until that night watching the news and I said, hey, that was the man that I was swimming with today.
Well, I'm sure he had a couple of Secret Service guys swimming with him. Good on you, Melissa. Glenn's on the line. Glenn, who are we in the pool with?
ACDC.
Oh, no, mate.
Are you kidding? Really?
Yeah, I was just a young fella around Tullamarine area. It's a little motel close to where I used to live.
Mm.
And it was a hot summer's night. And me and a couple of mates were only young kids, about 9 or 10.
Yeah.
And jumped the fence at the local motel and went for a dip in the pool. And these older fellas come down to have a swim. And we went to run off because we were a bit worried. And they told us, kick back, enjoy, and it turned out to be Bon Scott and Angus and that's the other lads, about 72 or 73, so it was a long time ago.
Yeah. Who knows? They'd probably just come back from a hard day's filming on the back of a truck
in
Melbourne.
Good
and
story.
We're dipping off in Tullamarine. Good on you, Nathan. Who did you jump in the pool with?
It was Limp Bizkit.
Limp Bizkit. were you headbanging in the pool? What was happening?
Well, it was at the Sheraton Mirage on the Gold Coast. Okay, I was probably about 10 years old. I think they were out for Big Day Out.
Yeah.
And they actually got kicked out of the Versace, which is across the road, and they ended up there.
They got kicked out of Versace. Oh, I'd love to know what went on over there.
Fred Durst, the rest of the crew. Yeah, that would have been amazing.
Their security guard, he was a dead ringer of Bill Goldberg, the wrestler. and he was launching us around the pool. He was getting us on his shoulders and throwing us around.
I love hearing this.
Best story ever.
And can I just ask, I'm just curious, Limp Bizkit, were there lots of like hot girls around at the moment?
Plenty of them. Fair to say that all the dads were hanging around the pool.
I like it a lot. John's on the line. John, tell us who were you in with, mate?
We're Bruce Foxton, the bass player for the Jam.
Oh, no.
Are you joking?
That is unbelievable. You know, I love the Jam. And the Jam's version is a Peter Weller. I think it's the Jam's version of Paul Weller.
Yeah, yeah.
That's Entertainment. He's one of the great songs of all time. What was the occasion? Yeah.
The Channel Islands in Jersey. I was just down in the beach pool. Everybody kept looking at him and coming asking for autographs, and they got the shits because they all thought he was Paul Weller. So they go up and say, "Oh, we love you. You're great. Can I have your autograph, Paul?"
Great. Rick, who were you in a pool with?
Debbie Newsom from Perfect Match in Bali in 1984.
Debbie Newsom, wowee.
That was the height of Perfect Match as well.
Well, it was indeed. Well, you would have been beside yourself.
Yeah.
Okay, you mentioned...
And the best looking of all your celebrity guests so far.
I'll take your word for that. Mm-hmm. Judy Greene was pretty good too, I thought, those days. Anthony Campbell was in a pool with Manpower.
Oh, man.
Good Lord.
Lucky boy.
I'd be getting out of there quickly.
Yes. Hey, make sure you check out Malloy on Instagram, Twitter as well, and you can listen through the listener app wherever you are. Coming up next, it's Mick's Tech Support. It is Malloy on Triple M. Yeah, Mick Malloy, he's many things. A tech expert is not one of those things.
Mick's Tech Support. Yes, Mick. With James.
Google Chrome's down the bottom.
Okay, yep. We
open
that up.
Yes, nicely. I mean, oh man, where's the dot?
Bottom right.
Now they've got a comma in there. How'd that f***ing happen?
Okay.
All right, take that tone out of your voice. How do I delete? Where's delete?
Just the backspace will be your top right.
I'm on it. Relax. So where's the f***ing... Oh, there's dot. Yeah, well, now what? Enter.
It's the enter key, which is on the wrong...
Bang! Says no internet.
Now we know why I can't connect you.
Now, well, what are we going to do about it? Great. Fantastic.
We're going to do the next bit. So, somewhere in the power board.
Yeah, well, what... Yeah, what about it? Yep.
Okay, just press the flashing red button for me.
Yes.
All right, you know what? I think you've done it.
Well, take that surprise tone out of your voice.
So, you're now going to receive a request from me, and you're just going to have to accept it?
I don't have to accept it.
Okay, you've landed the plane. I can look after the rest of it.
Hey, for that.
Mick Tech Support. Yes, Mick. With James.
James, very patient man. Hey, back in a few minutes to wrap up another huge... Well, there's another huge show in the books. Thanks for tuning in to Malloy and the Rostered Week Off. If you've missed any of today's show, check out the podcast on the Listener app coming up tomorrow. Anne Edmonds, Lloyd Langford, Titus O'Reilly, Nate Belvo, and Gone Wild. That's tomorrow on Malloy, right here, Triple M.